You are worthy. I'm just going to pray this over us this morning right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Just on the inside, we just bow our knees before the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we do not cease to give thanks for each and every one making mention of them in our prayers. We thank you that we always pray to you, Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, that you grant us today a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of you by having the eyes of our heart flooded with light so we can know and understand the hope to which you've called us in Christ Jesus. And so that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of your power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this life, but in this world, but also in the age and world which are to come. And we praise you for it, Lord. We thank you for divine revelation and light flooding each and every heart here, those watching, in the name of Jesus today, that we receive a fresh and a new word from you. Father, that you show us glimpses and revelation of what you've called us to do, because there is a calling on each and every one of our lives. And we thank you. We are walking it out in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. You may greet one another this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Welcome to those of you online this morning. We're glad to have you with us. Praise God. We believe right where you are, you're receiving the exact same anointing that's here in the room. The presence of God fills that place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to let everyone greet one another this morning. Praise God. Linda, I'm going to give you another hug. I need to give you another hug. Bless you too. Bless you too. Praise God. Welcome. Welcome this morning. Glory to God. Welcome to our first time guest this morning. If you want to find out more about us, our website is blfc.church. And there you can submit prayer requests, you could submit testimonies, access all of our past messages, video, audio, and sermon notes. And we are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Yes, they're still visiting in the room. That's okay. That's okay. Sunday's doors open at 9 and pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40. Thank you all who came this morning. Praise God. And praise God. For the Lee family back there, I was hearing promotion during prayer. I didn't get to say that because I was in the other room, but the word promotion was coming. So we receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Service starts at 10 on Sundays. So come early for coffee and fellowship. The coffee bar is going to expand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wednesdays, doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. Come early again on Wednesday nights for coffee, fellowship. Afterwards, we have refreshments on Wednesday nights. And the format has shifted for this season to Holy Spirit services on Wednesday nights. No two services are going to look the same. And also, they may or may not be posted online. I don't believe last Wednesday was posted online. But come and praise God, we are being led by the Spirit, times of worship, prayer, and ministry as He leads. Pray in time of intimacy with the Lord. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to that already. We want to let you know for Zion's Celebration of Life service is this Saturday, this coming Saturday. It's at 10 a.m. in Grant at the Midwest Electric Building. It's 104 Washington Avenue. We're going to share it on our Facebook so everybody can know. And we ask that, immediately following, there's going to be a fellowship dinner. And the family has asked that you bring a dish to share. There's no refrigerator or microwave. And so you might need to bring a cooler. We recommend finger foods. And we're going to celebrate his life. Amen. We know where he is. I mentioned last week, I've been seeing him with his white robe and the biggest smile on his face. Praise God. Amen. I watched a video of him running to me yelling, "Paula!" Remember that? And when I watched that, yes, and when I watched it, I sent it out. The Lord spoke to me like, I just imagined when we go to heaven, when we all get to heaven, he's going to just run, "Paula!" And I could see that. And he goes, "Is that your white car?" And it was like, "Is that your white horse?" is what it's going to be when we get to heaven. And I just had that image. And I'm going to, you know, share that because, praise God, he is alive and he is well. And we're here for you, Kimberly. We're here for the family. And thank you all for being here today. We're going to love one another. We're going to support one another. And we're getting through this, but we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen. God is faithful. And so, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the grace and the strength and the help for this season. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for doing only what you can do, for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy that follows us. We thank you, Father, for dreams and visions from heaven of Zion, of Houston, having the best time of their lives that literally will make a difference for the here and now. This life is short, and we thank you, Father, that you are so good. And we're going to carry on this preaching that Zayn was doing in the name of Jesus. And we're going to continue to impact lives for your kingdom so that for all eternity, we're going to be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we can enjoy you, Father. We can enjoy Jesus and one another for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're keeping our eyes on him. Praise God. So just a couple more announcements. Volunteers, we currently have the openings for greeters, coffee station, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and the worship team. And so I probably in a couple weeks here, we'll put out another sign up sheet out there. So if you want to be praying or thinking about what is the Lord calling you to do, and then also I'm announcing phase two of our vision for our building project. And we have right here, we have our poster. You all who have been here have these on your refrigerator or at home. Feel free to take more from over there. If there are any left, I'm not sure actually if there's. We have brochures. Yep, brochures. I keep one in my Bible. So phase two, we are believing for $100,000 to come in above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. This is for this vision here, for a sanctuary of our own, for the sanctuary, the building, the fellowship hall, the youth and children's ministries. We talked about last week, the playground, the platform so the children can come up. They can minister. They can learn how to minister. The worship, they can have the keyboard and those kinds of things. We want them to be able to be equipped. It's not babysitting in there. Okay, we're not just playing and babysitting. We're praying. We're imparting the word of God. We're imparting the anointing. This is for the next generation. And so this is what we're praying over: men's, women's groups, prayer groups, connect teams, and praise God. And so believe for it with us. Release your faith. And as you sow your seed, you're sowing into the kingdom. And we believe for that harvest into your home, into your household. And we are seeing it. Remember, we started in our basement and here we are here today. And so we're going to keep moving forward. And God, you got to start. That's the thing. Wherever he is calling, whatever he's calling you to do, just take that next step and then the next step. And it keeps getting clearer and clearer and clearer. He's not asking you to go do write this check today, unless he is. But I'm just saying, you know, do what he says next. And then it gets clearer and clearer. The path of the just and righteous shines brighter and brighter until the day of his coming. Amen. And so our paths are getting brighter. And praise God. So that is what I wanted to update you on. And this morning, I just want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. It says, God is able. Who's able?
God.
He's not asking us to do it in our own strength, in our own self. He's able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to us in abundance so that we may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be. If you have a need today, he is able. If you have a need today, he is able to, whatever the need is, to be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Amen. So praise the Lord. He's able, and we trust him this morning. Let's say our offering confessions together. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Ha, ha, ha. Let's all say it together. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. All I see is victory. All I see is victory. Praise God. Let's all say that together. All I see is victory. Glory to God. In Christ, all we see is victory. Yes, you're going to go wherever you focus. Wherever you focus, that's where you will go. The more you yield to something, the more you will yield to something. We are called to yield to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, thank you, Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 5 lets us know where we need to be given our attention to. Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light. Now, I want to make note here. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. He's writing to believers here. And he's telling the church, wake up. Wake up. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. Glory to God. He was speaking to him in the previous chapter. He said, hey, stop living like mere men. You didn't learn Christ this way. You've been saved. You've been born again. You are a temple of God. Holy Spirit lives within you. What are you doing running around here living and talking and acting like a heathen? Right? He says, you have become a carnal Christian. You're living like a mere man who's not been born again, filled with the Spirit of God. He says, no, you didn't learn Christ. So he tells them over in Ephesians 4:23, you need to now put on Christ. Amen. I'm putting on Christ. I'm leaving the past behind and I'm putting on Christ. And how do we put on Christ? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. He says in Romans 12:2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove for yourself what is the good, perfect and acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. This is how we put on Christ day by day. So, you know, we have it here. We have some over at by the door, but here is a Bible reading schedule. You can read through the Bible in 1 year with us. And I would encourage you to do so. That's one way. You know, we need to know what the Bible says concerning these situations. The Word of God, He says it is health, it is medicine to all your flesh. You know, we can't treat the Word of God like it's some buffet. Well, you know, I'll take this one, and I'm just, you know, I'm not too big on that. And yeah, you know, mom and them, we don't go for that. But, you know, we'll take some peace. We'll take some prosperity. And yeah, I'll take that healing. But, you know, going to church, tithing, nah, I'll pass. You know, and so again, they wonder, you know, a lot of times Christians are wondering, why doesn't this work? How come this isn't working out? I'm quoting healing scriptures. I'm praying healing prayers. And I've had pastor lay hands on me 17 times and I just can't seem to get healed. Well, the word is health to all your flesh. How's your love life? Do you have unforgiveness, bitterness? What has Holy Spirit been speaking to you about? Amen. Because these things are all interconnected. Again, I can't just say I'm going to take this one part and expect to get results while ignoring and disregarding all the other things. It all works together. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he says here, awake, you who sleep. So again, they've been literally walking around in one sense of the word like zombies, you know, you know, just going after the things of the flesh, picking and choosing some stuff here and there. He says, no, you need to wake up. You need to wake up and arise from the dead. You're living like a dead man. That old man that was crucified at the cross, you went and picked him back up and started living like that old man according to the dictates of your flesh. He said, no. Arise, Christ will give you light. This light, what he's really saying, truth, knowledge, to see what he sees, to live the way that he's called you to live. He said, be holy, for I am holy. Now, when you were baptized into Christ at the new birth, Christ moved in. Holiness lives in you. Now, he's calling you. He says, now live holy. Live separate from this world. I'm not talking about the way you part your hair and, you know, this and that. No, I'm talking about that inward. I'm talking about what's on the inside. Amen. Ought to be living out your daily life, you know, in how we witness, how we walk, how we talk, how we are participating in the life and blessing of the Lord. He says in verse 15, see then that you walk carefully, not as fools. What is a fool? The scripture says over in Psalms, it is the fool who says there is no God. So when we see the word fool in the Bible, it is the one who says in his heart, there is no God. And that he's saying here to the church, see that you walk carefully, not as a fool. Stop living like you weren't born again. Stop living like Christ is not in you. This church, Ephesus, had major revival in it. Major revival. They saw so many signs and wonders and miracles. Paul had went there on three separate missionary journeys. On the third one, he was there teaching in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years straight every single day. For 2 years straight, the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine sitting under the Apostle Paul for about 5 hours every day for two straight years? I mean, we're talking about he had direct revelation and you're getting a son under that. This is these guys. And now he's went away and now he's writing back, hey, what are y'all doing? What's going on? I didn't teach you this. You didn't learn Christ this way. Now you're living like a heathen again. Stop that. So again, they're living as a fool. He says, but you are called to live as a wise man, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Number one, do not be drunk with wine, for that is reckless living. Number two, be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. This is not a one time I went to church, one time, you know, I got saved, one time I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I'm set for life. That's how they were living. He's saying, stop that. Stop that. Be careful. Stop living like a fool, right? Be wise, making the most of the time, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, don't be drunk with wine. That's reckless. Number two, be being filled with the Spirit. Third instruction, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, being submissive one to another in the fear of God. Yes, glory to God. This is who we are called to be. This is who we are called to be. Glory to God. Be being filled with the Spirit of God. That's not the message today, but that's just what I believe Holy Spirit had to say to us this morning on that. Glory to God. Yes, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. There's healing in the house today. There's healing in the house today. All you got to do is turn. You may have been living like the devil the last 50 years. But in a moment of time, wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, maybe you've not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you've walked away over these past days, weeks, months, or even years. But if all you will do is right now, on purpose, turn your heart towards Him and say, Lord, I know I've been living this way, but right now I repent. What does repent mean? I make a change. I acknowledge the foolish living. I acknowledge sin. I'm not playing around with it. I call sin, sin. But right now, I turn my heart and my affection towards you, and I now receive your grace. I receive my forgiveness. I receive my healing. I receive my restoration. Whatever it is, the grace of God can meet you right where you're at and flood your life and radically change you in a day, in a moment. Hallelujah. Nothing's too hard for God. All He needs is your yes. All He needs is your yes. Say, I'm willing to be willing. Yes, thank you, Lord. Well, today we have been sharing here in a series for these last couple of months on the authority of the believer. And today we are on message number 9. And this is called Kingdom Legislation, Bind It, Loose It. And so online, if you'll go to our website, Victory Life or vlfc.church/sermons, you can click on that sermons tab. You can click on these notes, the audio, video. They're all there here in the room. Does everyone have their notes this morning? If not, we have more. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. So in our foundation text here today is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. This is Jesus' red words. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Phew! What? What? Don't just read past that one. I will give you the keys. Can you imagine? Okay, kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, here, I'm going to give you the keys. Go drive this thing. That's what He's saying. I'm going to give you the keys to heaven. All that's, have you read the back of the book? Have you read about heaven? Streets of gold, gates made of 100-foot pearl, not pearls, one pearl, 100-foot. That's impressive. Walls are made out of precious stones. There's light everywhere. Glory everywhere, healing everywhere, peace everywhere. He says, I'm going to give you the keys to drive this thing. Whatever you bind on earth, say whatever I bind. On earth will be bound in heaven. And let's all say this, whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen. So we see here that Jesus is letting you know what belongs to you. And he says, I will give these things to you. Now, we're on this side of the cross. We've been given those things. He's letting you know what I'm going to do. And now we're living in the fruit of it today. Glory to God. Or at least we have access to it if we'll know about it. So every believer has been given authority in Christ. Jesus, when he left this earth, his anointing, his grace, his power did not leave with him. No, he gave it to the church, his body. So we saw here a few weeks ago in Colossians chapter 3, he says that you and I, we have, past tense, been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm sitting here in this chair this morning, and I'm pretty sure I'm in Ogallala, Nebraska. Yes, yes, you are. Your body is. But in the spirit, you are here and you are there. Christ fills all in all. He is omnipresent, which means in every part of the universe, everywhere there is universe, he's present. In the spirit, things don't move at the speed of light. 186,000 miles a second, that's how light moves. He doesn't move at light speed. He moves at God thought. Speed of thought. Hallelujah. In the days to come, in glory, you and I will move throughout space by speed of thought. How does God get from one side of the universe to the other? Well, he's already there. But personally present, speed of thought, glorified body. Amen. Why? Because he fills all in all. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When this body falls, you just blink and you're there. Now, now heaven actually is a real location in the spirit. Where is it? Well, it doesn't really matter where it is, whether it's, you know, here or it's out there. In the realm of the spirit, here, there, moment of time. Amen. Why? Because you're already there in him. Glory to God. Just amen. So thank you, Lord. So again, Jesus, he gave us keys. These keys are literally legal instruments of kingdom operation. And he's letting us know these two things, exactly how it works, binding and loosing. These are really the clearest expressions of authority. Jesus taught on authority different ways, but these are really the clearest expressions of authority that Jesus ever taught. They're also the most misunderstood. A lot of times people read this passage and just kind of gloss right by it, never really give much thought to it, right? Some people like to think that I'm binding something on earth and somehow I'm binding something in heaven. You are not binding anything in heaven. You know, that's not the Holy of Holies. Not in that sense, but we'll talk more about this. Binding and loosing are also not about intensity, screaming and shouting and hollering and snotting and, you know, getting the whole church to do the same. No, that's not how it works either. As with all things, it works through alignment. Jesus, what did he say? I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. And guess what? He got 100% results. Why? He's in perfect alignment. And what you're really seeing in Jesus' ministry, he's binding and he's loosing. He's binding and he's loosing. Loaves and fishes. Where did all those loaves and fishes come from? He had a few sardines and a few crackers and he fed thousands. How did that happen? Where did the fish come from? Where did the bread come from? It wasn't here. There was just a few little handful. He had a little boy's lunch. How did it happen? Not just once. He did it twice. Out in the wilderness, children of Israel, where did all the manna come from? He said, quail rose up out of the sea and it rained quail over that, over the camp till it became a stench. There was so much quail. Quail don't live in the sea, but they said that they rose up out of the sea and it rained quail. Where did the quail come from? Hallelujah. Come on. Yes. Yeah, so binding and loosing, they are authority that is being expressed through agreement with heaven. I'm not manufacturing anything. I'm just simply hearing from the Father. By the Spirit, I see what He's showing me to do in this situation. I act in agreement and in accordance to it, and it works. It's not my idea. It's hearing from God what His idea is. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's wonderful to pray. But at some point, somebody's got to say, yep, and here I am. What do you want to say to this mountain? What do you want to do in this situation? How do we want to walk this out? Amen. Then that person, you or someone else, will be the answer to that prayer. If God wants something done in the earth, He needs a man to do it. Why? Genesis chapter 1, I delegated authority and dominion over this earth to a man. God, that was for real. He didn't take it back. He can't take it back. Why? Hebrews 1:3 says He is upholding all things by the word of His power. If He absolutely delegated dominion and authority over this earth to a man, He had no legal right to break His word and undo what Adam did when he bowed the knee to Satan. Why couldn't He just say, Adam, Eve, you're done. I'm cutting you off. I'm going to go back to the dust of the ground. I'm going to create a new Adam. I'm going to create a new Eve. There's multiple reasons for that. But number one, He would have had to have break His word in order to do that. If God were to ever break His word, everything would completely unravel. You, I, everything. So again, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Nothing was created apart from the Word of God. Nothing. Again, everything is being held together in the universe by the integrity of God's Word. God cannot break His Word. Again, if He were to ever break His Word, even for a moment, everything just dissolves. It comes to nothing. Again, Jesus gives us the keys to carry out heaven's will, not to create it. Matthew 16, again, Jesus said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So again, we want to look here first at what does binding and loosing actually mean? Again, binding and loosing, they are intentional expressions of authority. Again, we're talking about kingdom legislation. These are, again, expressions of heaven's decisions. Whatever God the Father already decided, I'm just hearing from Him, and I'm here on the earth to enforce heaven's will. Your physical body is what gives you access into this earth, and it's only through this body you have a legal right to speak to a mountain. It's only you who has the legal right to command the devil to get out. It's only you who has the legal right to lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus and see him recover. Again, Jesus prays perfectly. Jesus here in the flesh got perfect results. But He's now at the right hand of the Father in the Spirit. He has no legal right to shout from the heavens His will into this earth. It doesn't work that way. It works through you and I, His body. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, to enforce heaven's will. So again, 2 Corinthians 5 says, you and I, we are ambassadors for Christ. Say, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Yes. And so again, guess what? Ambassadors, they go to foreign nations, and guess what? They do not speak for themselves. They speak only what their king or head of state has told them to say. And when they say it, that kingdom, that government, which when they come from, is there to back that word. That government they come from is not there to back or enforce anything else. So if they go spouting off, hey, this, that, the other, well, I really think, I have an opinion. No, I'm not responsible to enforce that. And in fact, you may get recalled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So look here at these Greek words. Binding is the word in Greek, deo. It means to bind, to forbid, to restrict, to tie up, or to put in chains. So I like to, in this, imagine a Roman dungeon, which they had these, Paul was in them a few times, and literally it's down in the basement. There's no light. There's no windows. There's probably even sewer and stuff running through. I mean, this is real. They would literally chain people to the wall, chain you to the wall. No light, darkness. This is what this word bind means. You are forbid. You are restricted. You can't move. Luo means to loose, which means to permit, to release what has been held back or what has been held in reserve. I think the better thing is what has been held in reserve. What has been held in reserve for me as a child of God? I've got keys to the kingdom. What's been held in reserve in the kingdom of God? Again, Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall meet all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I'm in Christ. I've got keys to this kingdom. All I need to do is make a demand on the kingdom, make a demand on resources, make a demand on healing, make a demand on my covenant, and release it and receive it in Jesus' name. Again, these are words of authority. Glory to God. So you and I, we are called to bind what heaven forbids, and we're called to loose whatever heaven permits. Believers, you and I, we are legislating by aligning our words with heaven's revealed will. Number one, he reveals his will through his word. God's word is his will. Again, the integrity of God's word. If God's word, even one part of it, were to fail to bring itself to pass, everything unravels. Everything is upheld on the integrity and the power of God's word. God's written word is his written will. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, John 16:13 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," so he is literally the Spirit of the Word. Holy Spirit in you. He says, "The Spirit of truth will lead you. He will guide you unto all truth." He will breathe on this Word and make it revelation to you. So that just like Jesus, I know what the will of God is. I have it in written form, in general sense, but now I have Holy Spirit breathing on this, and now I know exactly how to minister. I know exactly how to pray. I know exactly how to handle this situation that's going to get kingdom results. This is learning about really how to flow with heaven. This is our life. As an ambassador, I'm constantly checking in with headquarters to hear from headquarters. Okay, here's this situation. Headquarters, what do you want to do in here? And if and until you hear, you need to just get quiet. Don't just run off, ha, 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 quoting 100 healing scriptures. You know, no, you need to spend some time and say, no, what about this? And the more we do this, the easier and quicker it will be to hear. So that you are literally on the go, and you're literally just one word right behind, one word right behind. I'm checking in. But even Holy Spirit said, the book says he'll show you things to come. He'll show you, hey, here's what's going to be going on later today. Or you'll just sense in your spirit something's going on. And it may be a few days, it may be a few weeks out, but he's showing you things. He's preparing you for these things so that when they arise, oh, the Lord's been speaking to me about this for 3 weeks. I know what to do in this situation. You're already ahead of it. Amen. Hallelujah. This is how it works. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." A son does what? Hears from father and does what he says. Hears from father, does what he says. That's what we're called to do. Hear from father, do what he says, and we're going to be do it being led by the Spirit of God. Your authority as a believer is absolutely 100% dependent upon you hearing from heaven. All of this, all of your Christian life has everything to do with living in alignment with the Spirit of God and with the truth. Jesus said as much, those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. You've got to have the Word, and you've got to have the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says these two will always perfectly agree. They will always perfectly be in harmony. If I'm reading Scripture, you know, and something comes along and tells me, well, you know, not this time, or it doesn't work that way, you can forget it. He will always lead you in line with truth. So, for example, 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed. That's what He said. That is His will. Jesus made that evident everywhere He went. Leper come up to Him, Lord, I know You can heal me. I don't know if You will. Jesus says, this is Son, I'm willing, be healed. It was always His will. That's what He came doing, teaching, preaching, and healing. Scripture says He came teaching, preaching, healing. You've got to know and be settled in your heart and in your mind what the Word of God says concerning healing, finances, concerning your peace. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. That's not a suggestion. That's the will of God. You don't let it. He can't make that decision for you. You have a free will. You get to choose. And obviously, Jesus is telling you, you need to choose. Don't let it. Why? I am the Prince of Peace. They were going across the Sea of Galilee. That Sea of Galilee, roughly 8 miles wide. I don't want to get onto the weather, but there was frequently coming across these mountain winds, and you could have a surprise hurricane wind show up on that lake. That's just the way the air currents move. And so that's what happens. So again, these are experienced fishermen who have spent their lives out here on this lake, and they're going across. And there was such a storm that arose that they thought they were going to drown and die. That's just what they thought. And so that Jesus, but get this. So again, if you imagine, these boats are roughly 36 feet long. The Bible says that Jesus was asleep on a pillow where in the back of the boat. Now, if you've ever been out in a boat, where's the rockiest position to be, front or back? The middle is probably the best place as far as turbulence. Jesus is in the back of the boat. Amen. So I can imagine big waves. Jesus might even be catching air, you know, getting thrown around. He's asleep. He's asleep in the middle of a hurricane. That's a picture of the Prince of Peace. That peace was resident in Jesus that day, and at the new birth, that peace is resident in you and I today. Are we yielding to that peace? Are we even acknowledging the peace? Are we aware of the Prince of Peace in us? Glory to God. That's true for everything else in the book. Do you know what belongs to you? And two, are you even yielding to it? Or are you allowing yourself to be tossed to and fro, James says? By every wind here, every wind there, I'm tossed here, I'm tossed there. No, I'm anchored in the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. Kingdom alignment. Again, binding and loosing are not your and I emotional or intense reactions. It's just simple alignment. What did Jesus do? He rose up. Peace, be still. What really happened when Jesus said that? Because a lot of people have spoke to wind and waves and not had that result. Why? No peace in them, or a lack of peace in them. You can't release what you've not been receiving and yielding to yourself. Here's the truth. Jesus said it. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What you're yielding to day in and day out, this is what's getting in you. And now in a moment of crisis, I can't rise up. Peace, be still. No. That peace, that flow of peace isn't really in me, so I can't release it into the atmosphere the way Jesus did. What's the difference between you and I and Jesus and his walk on the earth? In one sense, nothing. In the other sense, he's perfectly yielded to the Father all day, every day, every day of his life. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's why he was getting results. He was perfectly aligned with the Father. Hallelujah. So when he spoke to a hurricane, made no difference. The peace that was in him, it said the water became like glass. There was not a wind at all. None. Perfect peace. So whatever you may be going through, whatever situation you may be faced with, just know there is perfect peace available to you. Whatever may be going on in your body, there is perfect healing available to you. Why? Because he's also Christ the healer, and the healer lives in you. But it's not just for you. That's supposed to be a given, because he said in Matthew 16, now you go lay hands on the sick, they will recover in my name. Why? The idea is that I'm so aligned with heaven the way he's aligned with heaven, that when someone comes along cold and flu and this and that, I'm releasing that the healer himself that's already alive and fully resident in me. He's just now flowing through me and through this touch, through touch that is being transmitted to that person. It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ in me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is exactly how Jesus ministered, and he's calling it binding and loosing. But everything he did really is functioning under these two principles. Devil, shut up. Devil, get out. Hush. He would tell him. Why? He's just binding that devil. So again, he tells you in the Great Commission, Mark 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And now in my name, when you come across the devil, cast him out. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Get out. Don't ever come back. And now I loose the peace of God. I speak the healing of God. Aha. Yes, whatever you need, he's here to do the work. Aha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Heaven has a yes. Heaven has a no. Again, binding and loosing are how you and I as believers enforce his decision or his will in the earth. Binding is just simply saying this, heaven has forbidden this, so now I forbid it in the earth. Heaven has already permitted this or allowed this or loosed this, so I now allow, permit, or loose this in the earth. There's no devil in heaven. There's no darkness in heaven. In heaven, there is light everywhere. Yes, there's buildings and there's all these types of things, but there's no shadows. There is fullness of light in every place, in every room, no shadow at all, no darkness at all, no sickness at all, no disease, none of this. So when we, and so again, it does us good to again know what the will of God is. Know what the back of the book says. Read about heaven. See what's going on there. Hallelujah. And so when you come across this in this earth, say, no, that's not right. That's out of order. Father, what do you want to do about this? What do you want to say about this? Amen. Now, it's one thing to know. Now, we can go down the road here, Ogallala Hospital. I'm sure there's folks in there today, you know, going through different things. Jesus encountered, you know, similar situations. Pool of Bethesda, full of sick people, full of it. Hundreds, thousands, 2,000, we don't know exactly, full of sick people. He had to walk over, step through, get around to go minister to one man who had been laying there 38 years. Why? God showed him to go this way. He took the back way to go to the temple. This is not the normal route. He took the back way, side street, came up the backside and purposely went through the Pool of Bethesda, which is across the street from the temple, to go minister to this one man. He didn't just go and say, hey, I'm here, son of God. I'm going to clean the room out today. No, No. Amen. Number one, again, what did Jesus do? Number one, he went about teaching, preaching, then he went healing in that order. The first, Jesus' earthly ministry was 3.5 years. The first year of ministry historically is known as the year of obscurity. Why? Wasn't too many signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. There were some, but what you really see and read about, most of that took place and started in really in year two. And then it really just, you know, grew from there. Why? He had to go teaching the people, teaching them about the covenant of Abraham that they had, teaching them about the blessing. Why? Because in order for me to minister healing to you, in order for you to minister salvation to you, you have to know the will of God. You've got to be able to mix faith with this so that you can reach out and receive it. So he had to go teaching, and then he was preaching, which I'm taking what I've already taught, and now I'm exhorting, I'm expounding on this even further to encourage you to come now receive. Amen. So the people came to him and they received their healing. Again, we went through the miracles of Jesus. Not all of them. There was 37 distinct miracles in the gospel accounts. But here we spent, before this series, we had a series and we were teaching on Sundays and Wednesdays, going through one by one, looking at the miracles and dissecting them to see who did what. But we noticed something. They came to Jesus. Over and over and over, they came to Jesus with some measure of faith and said, Lord, I'm here to receive my sight. Blind Bartimaeus, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic title. Bartimaeus said, I recognize you as the Christ. I recognize that you have the authority and power to set me free, to heal my sight today. And so, Lord, I want to receive my sight. Woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you whole. How does she have faith? He was teaching and he was preaching. This miracle happened entirely on her faith. As so many of them the same way. Again, it's about alignment. I want to just make note here, some things that happened in translation. Again, this word binding or bound is a future perfect passive tense. Will have been bound. Again, it's referring to what has already been decided in heaven. Again, I'm not creating something. I'm not trying to decide it and somehow talk heaven into agreement with it. I'm just simply going to heaven, finding out what heaven has already said about it, and allowing Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do about this today? It could be, yes, go over here to the hospital and minister to this person. Or it could be, let's spend some time in prayer. There's other things that need to happen. Again, only Holy Spirit knows what the answer in every situation is. Allow to hear from heaven. Again, just to clarify in our notes, whatever you bind, Jesus is not saying that whatever you bind, heaven will follow. Again, Jesus is saying whatever you bind must be what heaven, number one, has already bound. Heaven is always the source. Earth is the expression. You and I are the covenant enforcing agents in the earth. I'm just simply expressing heaven's will in this earth. Again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Lord, show me how to walk that out today. That's the prayer, but Lord, show me how to walk it out today. Show my church, show my family how to walk that out in agreement and in alignment with you today. That is what's going to get results. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I have more notes, and you can do your own study this week. I would encourage you to do so, but I'm not going to go through all those today, but it's there and it's good. Number one, I want to share this as we're getting ready to close. Heaven reveals, but earth responds. Matthew 16:19, again, Jesus said, I will give you the keys. So again, you've been given this supercar. Here's the keys. Everything that comes with it, all the bells, all the whistles, all the features, it's yours. It's yours. But you've got to get in. You've got to drive it. You've got to turn the air on. You got to put your foot on the gas. You have to interact in alignment with this. So what we see here and know that number one, keys do not create doors. Keys just operate the door. You have keys that literally open things in heaven, right? Heaven is the source. Heaven has already decided. Heaven, by the Holy Spirit, reveals to you and I, and heaven establishes, or heaven is responsible for backing that word and seeing that word come to pass. Again, earth or the church is the expression. We're the ones who are literally here with authority to enforce it in the earth. You and I, the believer, we speak and we act through alignment with heaven. Again, binding and loosing, these are responses. These are not requests. I'm not trying to persuade God. Oh, God, would you please heal? Nope. Heaven decided a long time ago. Even from before the foundations of the earth, healing was always His will. Old Testament, New Testament, makes no difference. Healing was always His will. I'm not trying to get God, would you please heal? He's already healed. He's already sent healing. Has it been believed and has it been received? And that's another question. But He sent it. If someone needs salvation today, how do they receive it? Anybody? Ask? Yeah? It's okay to speak. Anybody? How do you receive salvation today? Do what?
Ask Him in prayer.
Ask Him in prayer? Yeah?
Believe in your heart and ask.
Believe in your heart and ask. Yes. Amen. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved, period. You can read before there. You can read after there. There's no other qualifications. It's just simply that. Why? Salvation has already been provided to everyone on planet Earth. All you got to do is believe in the finished works of the cross and say, Lord, I believe. And now I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior. And what are we doing? We're making the divine exchange. I'm making that exchange. Okay, my old spirit man is dying the death of the cross, Galatians 2:20, and Christ now lives in me. He moves in. That is the new birth. The greatest miracle, bar none, known to mankind, is the new birth. And how easy was it? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. A lifetime of sin wiped away, gone in an instant. Healing of your physical body, that's nothing compared to the new birth. But understand this, everything works the exact same way. Why? Salvation is just simply aligning with heaven's will. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God says, I desire all men to be saved, to come into the knowledge of the truth. You could do nothing concerning your salvation. You were dead. You were lost. You literally had no hope. But I loved you so much that even John 3:16, God so loved the world that even when you and I were dead in sin, we were enemies of God. We rebelled against God. In Adam, we all rebelled against God. And we all were subject to that judgment. But God says, no, in my agape, unconditional love, I'm not going to leave you where you are. I'm going to send a rescue party. His name is Jesus. I'm going to give all I've got so that you will have the opportunity to make that exchange so that where I am, you may be also. It starts there, but everything else in the kingdom operates the exact same way. I believe healing in my heart, and now I confess healing out of my mouth, and by that I receive my healing. I believe healing in my heart, and I confess healing out of my mouth, He says, on somebody else, and in the name of Jesus, He said, they shall recover. Mm-hmm. Everything in the kingdom operates through this kingdom legislation. I literally, when you go behind the scenes, it's these two keys, binding and loosing. I'm binding the devil from operation, and I'm just simply loosing salvation through the teaching and preaching. I'm loosing healing through teaching, preaching, and healing ministry. All of this works the exact same way. I'm just aligning myself with heaven at all times and all things. And again, it's not a buffet. I can't pick and choose. Well, I'm just going to focus up on this one area and I'm going to disregard the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, I don't need it to be saved. That's true. But you need it for life and ministry. All of these things are working together for good. Amen. But we can't leave parts of them off. We've got to renew our minds entirely so that I know how to function, how to bind, how to loose, what needs to be bound, what needs to be loose. There's so many things that believers are yielding to that they ought to be binding. Again, be being filled with the Spirit. Stop living like a fool, he said. You're out here yielding to the devil left and right, and you wonder why it's not working in your life. You wonder why it's not working in your household. You wonder why your kids are out here serving the devil. You wonder why your marriages are falling apart. Let me tell you why. You're living like a fool. Stop living that way. Renew your mind. Glory to God, because all of this functions through alignment. Every bit of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. We have just I want to lead us in this confession. I carry the keys of the kingdom. I bind what heaven has bound. I loose what heaven has loosed. I speak with clarity. I act with confidence. I align with heaven. I enforce Christ's victory. I legislate from his authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Ha ha. Would you get something out of this today? Hallelujah. And yes, Father God, right now I pray the ministry of Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, Lord, that as this word has been planted today, Satan, you will not steal this word. This word did not fall on stony ground, hard ground, or strife, or any of those things. I pray right now over each one, those here in this room, those of you watching, whenever you are, wherever you are, that this is fertile ground. Say, I'm fertile ground. Say, the word is working mightily in me, on me, for me, and through me, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So Holy Spirit, I thank you. You are the Spirit of truth. You are breathing on this word seed that has been sown. And Lord, we receive in the days to come that anywhere that we've been yielded to the wrong things, where we have been slightly off, out of alignment. Yes, we're asking you right now to shine the light on those areas. And as you do, we'll be quick to repent. Quick to receive our grace and get in alignment with you. And Lord, we receive that we are growing up. We are growing up into the full stature of the measure of Christ. We're growing up as a mature believer who is able to discern right from wrong, good from evil, and that we might walk in the perfect will of God, that we might see and know the hope to which we've been called in Christ Jesus, not just for our sake, but for others, that we might be an effective witness and a living epistle, a testimony to the goodness of God and one who is living in days of heaven on earth for which we are called to live. And Father, we thank you for this. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Well, we quoted the scripture just a moment ago. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says that if you will believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord out of your mouth, you will be saved. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and it's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In the kingdom, it's voice activated. You've got to, number one, believe it in your heart, And then when you confess it out of your mouth, you are literally loosing heaven. You are activating that thing to go forth. Again, he said in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And he's doing it through your mouth. He goes on to say in Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of your lips. You say it in alignment with heaven. He's there to back it every single time. That's what he wants to do, and he needs you and I to be in alignment with him, just like Jesus demonstrated. Glory to God. So let's all pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that you sent him to this earth, to the cross, to take my place. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord, my Savior, my risen King. Come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We believe according to the scripture that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. Heaven is your home today and forevermore. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to be back here Wednesday night. Doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. Again, this is Holy Ghost services. No two services are going to be alike. We're just going to follow the Spirit of God. Worship, pray, teach, preach. Minister, however he leads us, that's what we're going to do. And so corporately in these services, we're learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit. Now, the idea is that, yeah, we're going to be ministered to corporately. We're going to pray some things out corporately, but so that it's also teaching you in your own personal life how to flow and how to function in yielded submission to Holy Spirit. So again, we're here to teach these things so that you can take it home and walk it out practically for your own life, for your own families. Thank you, Jesus. And now again, next Sunday, 9:20 pre-service prayer, and then service starts at 10. In the meantime, God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.